To those who are active in the kingdom of God, I say simply that I want to be not only your brother in Christ, but also your friend. You know, friendship is more. Think of Jonathan and David. Think of a true friendship that comes from God and leads to God. And such a friendship remains in all situations, under all circumstances, no matter what may come. One can truly say with all sincerity, what God has joined together, no man can put asunder. And we have been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, and we are one body, though we are many members. And we can truly say that this is a divine union, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, cleansed by the washing of water by the Word, and then baptized into the body of the Lord by the Holy Spirit. It will be our task in these days to read some scriptures and ask God to do what He has not yet been able to do. And in doing so, we must always remember to thank Him from our hearts for what He has already done. On our last tour, which took us to Heilbronn, Nürnberg, Salzburg and Zurich, a very important thought kept coming back to me. Only where God has begun can He continue. Only there can He complete His work. We must be certain that God has begun the good work in us, in me and in you. And then we must let Him continue it. And then we must allow Him to finish what He has begun, to put the finishing touches to it, as the Americans would say, to give it the polish, so that everything is really right. In whom has He already begun? Amen. Just say Amen. And who is convinced that He will continue, and that He is even doing so, and we feel it, we experience it? Who is also convinced that He will finish it? By when? Already today? I can tell you what is written, unto the day of His coming. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. What is not yet today will have to be, because God wills it so. And the men of God have already seen the blood-bought multitude clothed in white, without spot or wrinkle, in glory. So she will be there, and by His grace we may be part of it. If we, as believers, do not rejoice in salvation and in what God has done for us, who will? I believe Psalm 103 gives us the idea and direction. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. These men have already seen through the Holy Spirit what would come upon us through the redemption that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, brought and gave us. Let us relax in the presence of God and simply allow the Spirit of God to work, not only hearing the word, but hearing it in faith, receiving it, and allowing it to work through the Holy Spirit. We believe that the word does not return void, but always accomplishes what God has sent it to do. You all know that our main themes are the return of Jesus Christ, our calling out and preparation, and everything concerning the end times in general. But on days like these, we must and want to focus in a special way on the scriptures that speak and write about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, about the work of the Holy Spirit, so that we may keep in mind what God is doing. For this has already been said in connection with the church in Zechariah chapter 4, when the prophet saw the sevenfold golden candlestick and the oil container above the sevenfold candlestick and the seven pipes that carried the oil down, there was one filling pipe for each lamp, so that the oil of the Spirit would flow down from the oil container in these seven church ages, and the teaching and revelation and anointing of the Holy Spirit would be bestowed upon the true believers in each church age. I know that there are different opinions about this. I also know that we are not interested in any opinion at all in this place. We want to know what Scripture says about a topic, and so we want to believe and experience according to Scripture. When the Bible speaks of conversion, one cannot say, in that age, conversion was such and such, and then such and such, and later on something completely different. That is not possible. Conversion is conversion. When the Bible speaks about a new birth, one cannot say, yes, in the first age, when everything was still good and beautiful, it was such and such. But later, when the dark times came, it was such and such. That is not true. Conversion was always conversion, and new birth was always new birth. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. Regardless of the situation, the general situation, those who experienced God, right? Whether there were many or few, it is the same with the baptism of the Spirit. One cannot say, in the past, the baptism of the Spirit was such and such, but today, it is such and such. No, the baptism of the Spirit is the baptism of the Spirit. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, until the Lord comes. Amen. 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 It cannot be any other way, and we do not want it any other way. Have you understood that well? Do you agree with it in your heart? We must agree with it. We must agree with God. If we do not agree with God, we will be left high and dry and may see people in front of us and behind us, to our right and left, being blessed, while we ourselves do not feel it. Please, Let us go along with every word and say yes to it. Only then will we believe, as the Scripture has said, and only then can rivers of living water flow from our bodies. When the stream pours over us, when the spring breaks forth within us, of which our Lord spoke. Do you agree with this? Yes, conversion has always been conversion, and is conversion today. New birth, if it was one, it was life from God that was given to the believer. And one could say again and again, behold, all things have become new. The old has passed away. The same is true, let it be emphasized once again, of the baptism in the Spirit. And perhaps this remark should also serve to help us thoroughly, even in the days when only justification was preached, people were baptized in the Spirit, people were born again. And I ask that no one says to me, in those days, who was saved? Who among you knows Revelation 2 and 3? Do you know them? Do you know the Scriptures? Each church age message reports on the messenger of the church. Is that right? In each church age message, the message was addressed to the entire church. And in each church age message, the same thing is written at the end. He who overcomes. Amen? Of course, the insights were different. And so was the proclamation. John Wesley went much further than Martin Luther could go. But, as I said, whoever came to God or comes to God today truly repents and experiences God, then the biblical pattern must apply, not the partial proclamation, but the whole experience that people have had with God, are having with Him now, and will have until the end. What we are still waiting for, of course, is the final round. But today we can all be baptized in the Spirit, without exception. No one can show me in the Bible that anyone was commanded to wait except for the 10 days. When the apostles were called from Jerusalem to Samaria, no one said, we waited 10 days, now you wait too. No, they came, they prayed, and it happened. And it happened. Brother Rus has already quoted the word from Acts 10. Peter was only in the middle of his sermon, but he had already reached the core, namely Jesus Christ, who was crucified and rose again on the third day. You all know the short sermon there. And it says, while he yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. There was only one waiting period, and that had to be, because the Holy Spirit could not fall until the Lord had ascended and the time had been fulfilled, namely until the 50th day had actually arrived or would have come. In the Old Testament, we have the various feasts and even the Feast of Pentecost, which is already a special feast there, and so we see it transferred to the New Testament. Do you all agree that a baptism in the Spirit in the 20th century must be exactly as it was in the first century of the Christian era. The Amen from the far left came loudly, although it was only a small group, and from here it did not come so loudly, and then again from there. Beloved, this is the time when God wants to bring us into conformity with every word. Man does not live by bread alone, nor by a few words that fit into the concept. Man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God, from every word. And we may say, Lord, where shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. What John said then still applies today. I baptize you with water unto repentance, but the one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Oil alone is not enough. It must also be lit. Fire is part of it, and therefore also the fiery tongues on the day of Pentecost, so that what our Lord said may be fulfilled. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? May he kindle a new fire in all of us. Holy fire from God, poured unto holy oil from God, produces something very beautiful. Is that what we all want? He is truly the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now just a quick thought, because I travel a lot, I know it. It is said again and again, whoever believes the message has already received everything. Beloved, I would like to say it again and emphasize that the message is the message, but your personal experience with God is a personal experience of salvation that you absolutely must have. There is no other way. And then, believing the message is something wonderful, or believing the message and then having the experience with God. One does not replace the other. One belongs to the other and connects them together. And only in this way can we reach our goal. If we believe in the way that God has told us in His Word by His grace, I am glad that God has tuned our hearts just as one tunes an instrument. One instrument cannot be tuned after many others. The conductor must come who knows exactly how to tune. And what did Brother Branham say? The conductor must conduct according to the notes. It must be played according to the notes. Here we have the notes. When we play along with them, yes, then heavenly music comes forth. Then we hear angelic singing. Then God will be able to glorify Himself. Are all the strings tuned? Is everything in harmony? May the Lord, the great Master, tune us all, truly tune us, until everything is in harmony and no discord can be heard anywhere. But the Lord can do great and glorious things among His people. Do you agree with that? A young brother who is sitting here among us today came to see me and told me some things that touched my heart deeply. In essence, I will repeat it in my own words. He was really concerned not only to come and hear the word and the wonderful things that God has revealed, but to be ready when the Lord comes, that there is oil in the lamp and oil in the jug, oil in the jug. He wanted to be there when the Lord comes as the bridegroom to take his own home. I want to be there too. I want to have a burning lamp and then the jar of oil to refill, because there are these two scriptures about delaying. In Matthew 25, it is said that the Lord delays his coming, and it says the same thing. Perhaps I will read it, because it refers to the Holy Scriptures. It says so in Matthew 25. Yes, it should be in the first verses. Matthew 25, from verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now comes the verse. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Here we have the word, while the bridegroom tarried. That means they were expecting him to come. But then they got the impression that he was taking his time, that he wasn't coming yet, that he was delaying. And even those who were going out to meet the bridegroom became lukewarm and sluggish and fell asleep. Then came the cry at midnight. There are two versions in the translations. One says, the bridegroom cometh, in the imperative. And the other says, the bridegroom is here. It makes no difference to us what is written there. In any case, it is written, and they set out. We are familiar with the words in Peter's letter, 2 Peter chapter 3, where we are also told about the delay. I am actually not prepared for these scriptures at all. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This word is also very important in relation to all of us, and with those who are close to our hearts, whom we would like to see with God. And there is no believer who does not have relatives or others close to his heart for whom he prays, whom he would like to see again in heaven. And I believe that this word gives us insight into this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He is only waiting until the last ones are called and come in, according to Romans chapter 11 from verse 25. And then the door will close and salvation will return to the Jews from whom it came. For thus it is written, salvation comes from the Jews. The Jews received it first, then it came from them to us. And when the church is complete, salvation will go from us back to the Jews, and they will recognize the Lord as their Messiah. Everything in the kingdom of God goes exactly according to God's plan. And I know what I and some of us have thought from time to time, that in the political world, in the religious world, in economy, in everything we see, Bible prophecy being fulfilled at a speed that some actually find too fast. And you know, there are people, I once experienced this, I had brothers from America in the car, especially this giant from Texas. And as we were traveling from Paris to Brussels, I was driving at about 120, 130, no more than that. We had some diesel cars with us. And then suddenly the whole convoy is stopped. And this man from Texas gets out into the car park and waves his hands and says, I'm not driving anymore. This speed is unbearable. The wheels aren't even touching the ground anymore. And I thought to myself, I first looked at him. He was so big, half a head taller than me, and then so much fear in his knee joints. But then, after I had calmed him down, he said, I'm not ready to go to glory yet. He wasn't quite ready for that. I just mentioned that to add a little humor to the situation. Some people think it's too fast. The speed isn't quite right for them. Well, I ask all our beloved neighbors to understand this remark correctly. So far, we don't have any speed limits in the country. That will only come after our unification. But whatever the case may be, let us read a few more scriptures. I am very serious. Even though I have included such things here today, I am deadly serious. The question that has not yet been answered is this. Why are we, the church, progressing so slowly? And our brother, I do not want to name him, nor the country, but he said, I had expected more when I came to Krefeld. Yes, sir, me too. I had expected more, and I still expect more today. And God has more, and He will do great things. For it is not a matter of any human being doing anything, but of us redeeming this time to bring God's message to the people, and especially to the people of God in all languages, so that the calling out and completion can take place at all. For that is the first step, and one cannot put the others before the first. Let us read from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, a little about what the Lord announced would happen when the Spirit of God would be poured out. Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 4, and then a few verses further. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. We can pause here for a moment. The Lord has said many things. In the hour of the fulfillment of Scripture, all the Bible passages come to mind. And we are grateful to God that even in this generation, we have repeatedly found the right Scriptures at the right time for the right context. Is that true or not? There were many things we did not know in advance, but when the Scripture was fulfilled, we found it confirmed and were able to thank God with all our hearts, just as our Lord did at that time. He read from the prophet Isaiah chapter 61 and then said in Luke 4, "This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears." We are living in the midst of the fulfillment of Scripture, which is being fulfilled in all areas, and we can expect that the Lord's return will be soon, really soon. Sometimes I have the word which, to my knowledge, appears only once in the Bible, the Aramaic word Maranatha. Whether it means the Lord is coming, the exact wording is sometimes a little different. But one thing we know is that it means the Lord is coming, and we believe that He is coming soon. And should we now live in this period where we have the impression that He is delaying? Yes, sometimes we think, as many did in the 1970s, they were counting on that the Lord is coming. Then they started counting again, and behold, it has not yet happened. It could really be that some of us are saying to ourselves, my Lord will certainly not come for a long time yet. Friends, brothers and sisters, even the time of delay will come to an end. The time of patience will also come to an end once the last ones have been called and have entered. If it were tonight, then tonight the door would close forever. On the day when the last one who is to be saved is called, the door will close. Then the door will close. And whoever is inside will be inside. Those who are outside will remain outside forever. And there is a passage in the Gospel of Matthew that describes or refers to the days of Noah, and they did not know it or understand it until the day Noah entered the ark. I don't have the Scripture at hand. Oh yes, it's here. Matthew chapter 24, verse 39. "And knew not." And knew not. There was a lot going on. The prophet brought the message, but they did not realize what it was about. They shook their heads and went on their way, thinking to themselves, "We know him. We know his family. What is going on with him now?" They did not recognize, they did not realize what it was about at that time. And when our Lord says here, especially in Matthew 24, he speaks of various things earthquakes, famines, wars, rumors of wars, false prophets. He speaks of many things here. And then even of the great tribulation of the fig tree that would become tender and that it would be as it was in the days of Noah and so on. And then he comes to the saying, and as they did not notice, there will be people in our generation who will not notice, who will not understand what is at stake now. And here too, the warning is appropriate, not just partial truths that are precious to us, but the full truth, the entire testimony of Holy Scripture, including all the promises that God has given for our day in His Word. And that does not end with a few precious doctrines about the Godhead and about water baptism, about the Lord's Supper, and perhaps a few other teachings. No, today the whole counsel of God must be proclaimed. The Godhead must be preached correctly. Baptism must be performed correctly. The Lord's Supper must be celebrated correctly. Everything must be brought into the right order. In the same way, we must pay attention to how all the other promises are fulfilled, and also the hidden things that have been revealed through the prophetic ministry. They are simply part of it. And we are grateful to the Lord that we do not live in the days of the Reformation, where there is knowledge, but in the days of revelation, when the Son of Man is revealed. Just as it was in the days of Noah, in the days of Sodom, so will it be when the Son of Man is revealed. Have we even understood in what way the Son of Man has revealed Himself in our generation? One can talk and philosophize about these things, and I would like to see the preachers who have already preached about this gathered together. In the days when the Son of Man reveals Himself, it will be as in the days of Noah. And behold, today it is like in the days of Noah. And the Son of Man has revealed Himself, and they have not recognized it. They have not realized what it is all about. It is easy to talk or preach about any scripture. It is somewhat more difficult to have this scripture illuminated by revelation from God, and then to classify it biblically and become part of what God is doing now. How we rejoice over all the corrections, over the doctrinal corrections. We have gratefully accepted them. But it is written that so it will be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Perhaps I even need to read it. As I recall, it should be in Luke 17. There is roughly the same text as in Matthew 24. Luke chapter 17, verse 30. Luke 17, verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Hallelujah! Praise be to the Lord God. Now, if you read the text beforehand, how they built and planted, and how everything was done until the fire fell, they did not notice anything beforehand. Nothing was wet, nothing was burning. It had not rained until then. Where would the rain come from? The people were sure of themselves. they did not notice, and that is given to us as a warning for these days from that time. Did we notice what God did through the prophetic ministry, that it was not a man, but the Lord of heaven who revealed himself in order to be heard by his people? What was said at that time? As Moses received two signs, and then it came, if they do not listen to the voice of the first sign, they will listen to the voice of the second sign. What was it? It was not just a sign. It was a voice that spoke through this sign. Have we understood that? If they do not listen to the voice of the first, not if they do not notice the first sign, but if they do not listen to the voice, I don't know if I will find it now. Brother Rus, you can help me, because these words are very important for us to understand, especially for our day. It should still be in Exodus, chapter 4. I want to quickly look it up myself, but it is really very important. Exodus, chapter 4, verse 8. Yes, sir. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. My point is, where it says voice, have you found it? Or is it somewhere else? In any case, it is important that we not only see something, but also hear it. Pay attention to what is being said. And this word is particularly important, as we have read in Matthew 24 and Luke 17 and other passages. I will say it again and ask at the same time, how many preachers have already used these scriptures? I do not know if they would fit in this room. There is no one who preaches who does not include these scriptures in their sermon. It is of no use. When you preach, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be, and as it was in the days of Sodom, so it shall be. And then they stop. When will it be so? 1,000 years ago? Or immediately before the return of Jesus Christ, when the Son of Man reveals himself? What was he as the Son of Man? He was prophet as the Son of Man. At that time, they did not believe him. On the contrary, they said, you have Beelzebub, and so on. And the Lord said, all sins shall be forgiven men, except the sin against the Holy Spirit. And in these days, exactly the same thing has happened. Brother Branham was only a man, like you and me, as we are. He couldn't give himself anything or take anything. But we can say this much. Even the supernatural cloud should be such divine proof to all who have their senses together that they would take off their shoes and say, Lord, you have spoken, you have worked. I am ready to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In the days of Moses, they did not have cameras. They could not photograph the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. In the days when the cloud descended on the Mount of Transfiguration, they couldn't make a picture either. And here, when this simple man of God said again and again in the meetings, now the light is here and there, above this woman or that man. Was he deceiving? Was he somehow fooling people? There was the pillar of fire the supernatural light came down. That is the truth. Our Lord revealed Himself, and we are living in those days. Is it like Sodom and Gomorrah? Everything is in confusion. Who can still find their way? Have we understood this? It is not enough for us to speak of the return of Jesus Christ. We must walk the stages that lead to it. We cannot simply arrive at the top and say, "Good morning, Lord." That is not possible. We must begin where God begins and continue. This thought is also appropriate here. Those who do not allow God to take them out of all traditions and customs and their own knowledge of Scripture and make a new beginning with them will never be able to experience the biblical completion. Have we understood this? Have we grasped this? Perhaps this was too fast for the translators and for all of us. I am deeply moved. It overwhelms me. It is not enough to say that we have experienced conversion, a new birth, a baptism in the Spirit. The Holy Scriptures say, all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are children of God. These are the true children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God leads into all truth. If we have friends, brothers and sisters among us, for whom God's message for this time is new, let it be known here. It is the old word that God has placed anew upon the lampstand. But this word revealed by God does not allow for mixing. It does not allow for mixing. We have been in confusion long enough where people have mixed human words with God's words. As I said earlier, we do not live in the days of knowledge. We live in the day when the Son of Man revealed Himself. And we must enter into this divine revelation. It must be revealed to us that He has revealed Himself. And only then can we be classified, yes, categorized by God, in order to then witness the progress and at the very end, the completion. God is creating something new. He is making a whole new beginning. He has already done so with many of us. And He will do so with the rest. No mixing. And I will tell you where mixing ends, in the flood. All mixing ends in the flood. May I ask you, what happened in the days of Noah? The great mixing between the line of Seth as sons of God and the line of Cain as the sons of men. You can read about it in Genesis 6. And God repented of having created man because man no longer allowed himself to be punished by the Spirit of God, no longer allowed himself to be convicted. The children of God at that time preferred mixing than to listen to the prophet sent by God. Now you know how it was in the days of Noah. Those who did not listen to God's message remained in the mixing and perished along with the mixing. I do not want to perish. I want to go into the ark. Jesus Christ is that ark. And then someone may say, "That's not important as long as I have the Lord." Oh, let me pull that wisdom tooth for you. Even if you were over 90, if you are in Christ and have Him, then you have the living Word, and you are in the Word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Things simply have to fit, and they only fit when you allow God to arrange things as He sees fit according to His Word. I have begun to read, but you realize that when the Spirit of God draws attention to something, it must be said. And here, recently, one has often heard the phrase doing schoolwork, which probably meant not just skimming over things, but reading them thoroughly and doing them in such a way that they will last. In spiritual matters too, let us not overlook things. At some point, it will be missing. Whoever has not yet made a start with God, according to what He said in His Word for this day, on which the Son of Man would reveal Himself, and we can say today, looking back, that He has revealed Himself. Whoever has not yet made a biblical start with God, let them make that start with God today, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who do not make a true beginning with God will not be able to make a true end with God. The beginning is decisive for the outcome of a matter. There is no room for well-intentioned traditions. They were good for almost 2,000 years. They were still good 20 or 30 years ago. Today, they are no longer good. Today, God calls us back to His Word. And here one can say, where the fruit is, there the eagles gather. We may gather in the name of the Lord, knowing that there was no theologian here who gave his opinion for the best. Here God worked from heaven, and the Son of Man revealed Himself. Blessed is he who is not offended by Him. Blessed is he who understands what it was all about. You who are familiar with the ministry, did we not experience it often enough? As a human being, He could not have said to anyone, "You are so and so, you have such and such an illness, you come from such and such a city." But that is exactly what our Lord did as a prophet, as the Son of Man here on earth. Take all the scriptures, and the scribes were offended and angry because He even saw through their thoughts. Nothing was hidden from Him. And He said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" Didn't the same thing happen? The same thing happened. The same ministry. People from all over the world stood before Him. He knew none of them, but He didn't need any information about any of them. He stood there, and the Lord revealed it to Him, and He said it. He let God work through him and speak through him, but so that everyone would know that it did not come from the platform, but from heaven. This light was also captured on camera. 86 photographs were sent to Dr. James MacDonald back then. People from all over the area took pictures. It was a sensation in the middle of the blue sky, this cloud, this majestic cloud. Have you understood? On the day when the Son of Man is revealed, He has revealed Himself. Blessed be His name. He is King, Priest, and Prophet. Blessed be He forever. And because we live in this time, He has done it. It did not happen 100, 200, or 400 years ago. It happened now, shortly before the return of Jesus Christ. God Himself watches over His word to fulfill it when the time comes. We do not need to help God. The only thing we need to do is allow the Lord to work on us, in us, and through us. Have we understood today what is at stake? How far time has progressed? The Son of Man has not come. When He comes, that is a completely different scripture. And sometimes I do not know why people confuse the scriptures. When He returns to take His own, two will be lying on one bed. One will be taken, one will be left behind. Two will be in a field, one will be taken, one will be left behind. Two will be grinding at a mill. The Son of Man has not come, certainly not, but He has revealed Himself, as we have read. Praise be to our Lord for opening our eyes to this and for enabling us to believe it with all our hearts and souls. Here, not only is the word proclaimed, hear the biblical truths, hear that which is connected with God's plan of salvation is put upon the lampstand, so that all who come in may be enlightened. I believe we can say with a very clear conscience, as David proclaimed in Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word has become a light for us in the midst of darkness. In your light we see light. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And Jesus said, I am come, a light into the world. John had already preached that all should be enlightened through him. And therefore he also said, whoever follows me will not remain in darkness, but will have the light of life. At evening time there was to be light. At midnight it became dark and sad. The virgins fell asleep. Then came the wake-up call. Then came the great awakening. And then came the going forth to meet the bridegroom. Beloved, I too would like to testify once again, as I have done many times before in this place and in other places. I would like to have preached together with all my brothers in such a way that I, together with the listeners, will be present at the rapture, so that all who have heard the word will have had the biblical experiences, conversion, new birth, baptism in the Spirit, whatever it may be. This applies to all the other promises, including those we have just gone through. In the days of the Son of Man, it will be as it was in the days of Noah, in the days of Sodom. People did not listen to God because they did not listen to the men sent by God. And sometimes you hear people say, my attitude doesn't depend on any preacher, even if he is the greatest. Yes, that may sound nice, but it is still written, whoever receives the one I send receives me. And whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. God wanted to send His servants at all times, not for us to stone them, not for us to kill them. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have wanted to gather you together, but you have killed those I sent to you, stoned them, and behold, there was a too late. They did not recognize the day of their divine visitation. I would not trade places with any of the most famous evangelists in the world in this generation. I want to be what God has made me. I just want to become more grateful, and I want the fire of divine love to burn even more in me and in all of us. I have told you here, and I have it in black and white, the greatest evangelist in the USA earns exactly $1 million a year. With that kind of money, we would be well off. We didn't really need anything more. Our Lord had nowhere to lay his head. Who was he? Misunderstood, rejected, misjudged, cast aside. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Even one's own aeroplane and everything else will be of no use on the day that the Lord has made. Blessed are we if we can be content with not belonging to the most highly regarded, but to the small, despised group for whom God's word means everything, and who also remember the scripture in Hebrews, that we should go outside the camp to bear the reproach of Christ. Someone may ask me, but where can all these things be preached? Everywhere, in all places. But one must begin with the ABCs and first teach people the basics of Bible doctrine before one can go into the fulfillment of Scripture. I have stopped at John 16, verse 5, or was it verse 4? John 16, verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. What do we think about Luke 17, verse 30, and what comes before and after it? What do we think about the relevant scriptures that refer to our days? We remember that the Lord has promised it. We remember that He watched over His word to fulfill it at the right time. And I would like to call out to everyone once again, let us make the right beginning with God. Let us allow Him to begin in us according to His word. Just be honest. If there is a drawing for a building and people ignore the drawing and build with the sweat of their brow, and suddenly the building is compared to the drawing and nothing is right, none of the measurements are correct, nothing is right, what was all the sweat for? Why all the effort? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Brother Rus read the word from Hebrews. Moses was faithful in the house that God had appointed him. Christ, as a son, faithful in his own house. And his house are we. That's how we read it. Yes, where's the blueprint? According to what shall the house of God be built? 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. The church of the living God is the pillar and foundation of the truth. We are a building made of living stones joined together, and Christ has been the cornerstone and will be the capstone. He the first and He the last. and we, as living stones, are inserted into this building of God. Who builds the church? Not a man, not a denomination, not even a prophet, not even a prophet. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But he has co-workers. He has people who are commissioned to be God's co-workers according to this divine plan. We want to be nothing more than that. For as Paul writes, as God's co-workers, I urge you, let us understand this and accept it. It is important that God was able to make the right beginning in us, a beginning in accordance with Him and His Word, and then the continuation of God's work in us until we, as a firmly joined house of God, a building not made by human hands, but truly a habitation of God in the Spirit, are joined together as closely as the members of a body are joined together and held together by everything that connects them. And may the word connects also touch all our hearts. What connects the members comes from God. What separates the members comes from the enemy. Let us be careful to have connection with God. Let us be careful to say only what connects and does not separate. Sometimes there are many wonderful things that connect us in spirit, and little things that separate us. Let us not cause great harm with little things, but believe and trust in the Lord that He will make everything good and bring it to a glorious conclusion. Beloved brothers and sisters, dear friends, I believe, yes, I know, that He has begun with us. I believe and know that He will finish with us unto the day of His return. I believe and am certain that He will bring it to pass, and that we ourselves will then marvel at what He has made of us. Not what you have done, for there is no glory of our own. Let him who glories glory in the Lord, and let us glory in him today. Let us praise him together, give him glory, for he has done great things for us, and will do even greater things. Blessed and praised be his holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and sing the chorus, Just As I Am. Beloved, we have the promise, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. We have the promise, those who seek me will find me. We have the promise, Whoever knocks will be opened. But we also have the warning. But they did not recognize my ways. We have the warning, but they did not recognize it. They did not notice it. We have the admonition of too late that will come at the return of Jesus Christ. Today, if you hear His voice, and I'm convinced that we have heard it, He has spoken to us. His word is alive. And it will not return void. It will accomplish what the Lord has sent it to do. Whoever has heard the call, come to the Lord, whether young or old. Of course, the young people are especially close to our hearts, that they may not be lured into the world, which promises much and delivers nothing, but may be led to the Lord, serve Him, follow Him, make a right beginning, so that a right completion may also take place. Before we pray, I ask that all heads be bowed, all eyes closed, all hearts opened, and that we remain in devotion before the Lord, who has spoken to us. Do not be ashamed when the Lord calls you to come. He says, whoever acknowledges me before men, and so it begins, taking the first step, making the decision for the Lord. I don't want to ask for long. The Lord has spoken. Whoever wants to come can do so. Please raise your hand briefly so that we may include you in our prayer. Is anyone here?
Danke, 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 danke.
God sees the hands everywhere, everywhere. God sees the hands. God sees the hearts. Hallelujah. Dear heart, dear brother, dear sister, whatever it is that you carry with you, tell Jesus. Tell Jesus. He is your friend in need. Tell Him whatever your concern may be. Sickness, hardship. Who wants to experience God today? Who has a concern? Oh, God bless us together. May God bless us together. Do you have loved ones you pray for? Whatever it may be, lift up your hands, lift up your hearts, lift up your voices to the living God, who is present today to hear, to save, to heal, to deliver, to bless, and to baptize with spirit and fire, who is here today to begin a new work through blood, word, and spirit. Hallelujah. Receive what you have asked for in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to God in the highest. And peace on earth in the people with whom God is well pleased. Hallelujah. It has already been done. God has done great things. Where the word comes alive and is mixed with faith, God acts immediately, not tomorrow. God acts on the spot. He saves, He heals, He delivers, He reveals Himself. God acts on the spot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Have we all understood that we are living in the days comparable to Sodom and Gomorrah, comparable to the days of Lot? Have we understood that the time has come? We could go into more detail about what happened in the days of Lot. The Lord came personally to Abraham, confirmed the promise, and the two angels went to Sodom. And the Lord said to Abraham, "How can I keep secret what I'm about to do? Who knows the story well?" The Lord had turned his back to the tent where Sarah had laughed. He did not see her. She was in the tent. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh?" He revealed to Abraham the thoughts of his heart and what was happening behind him. The same thing happened in the ministry of Jesus when he was a prophet and a son of man. The same thing happened in the ministry of Brother Branham in our generation. There are hundreds of tapes and thousands of millions of witnesses to this. We have told you the truth. It is true. The Son of Man has revealed himself from heaven. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to God.